All right, so good morning. Our shiur is dedicated this morning by Melanie and Milt Gertner in memory of Milt's mother, Fanny Gertner, from Abbas Yitzchok Michel, and we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, her neshama will have an aliyah. All right, so we left off bottom of Ayin. Today's daf is Ayin Hey, but we left off on the bottom of Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. So again, still going through the Lama Tes Malachos. I was thinking yesterday, we had a little bit of a faster shiur yesterday anyway. But it's a chaval, you know, one could spend and some do spend years on this sugi. Meaning, this is the sugi of Lamed Tes Melachos. This is the bread and butter of Shabbos. But all right, at least hopefully we'll get some overview. Saha Korea Amanas Litvar. Last two lines. Three lines up. Hatofer Shtei Tefiros. If one goes ahead and stitches two stitches, Tofer Shtei Tefiros. So the Gemara says, "Halo Kaima, aye, but that does not stand, that does not endure." And I will say, what does that mean? The assumption of Hatofer Shtei Tefiros is the following, that a person is going, if you can imagine, if you have a piece of fabric, so Tofer Shtei Tefiros means the needle is going in once, going in again, and coming out. So it's not really two stitches, it's really two entrances of the needle. So the Gemara says, but one second, but such a stitch will not endure, right? Such a stitch will ultimately fall out. Says the Gemara, Amara Barachana Arma Yochanan, Vahusha Kashran. What's the case? The case is where you are tying the edges of the string. So because you tie the two ends of the string, therefore the stitch remains in. Hakorea Amanas Litvar. If one goes ahead and tears with the intention of sewing, so the Gemara says, "Kriya b'mishkan mihava." Now, I will say, remember, if one thing we've seen is that everything in the Mishkan, excuse me, all the malachos, are things that were done in the Mishkan. So, where was kriya? Where was tearing done in the Mishkan? So the Gemara says, "Amihava, kriya b'mishkan mihava." Rabba, Rabbi Zera, Dami Tarvayhu, top of Ayin Hey, Shekain Yiriya Shenafal Badarna Korin Bavitofen Osa. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you where it was, that if you had a Yiriya is a curtain, Shanafa Baldarna, Rashi says, is Tolas, Umenake Bonekev Katan Va'agul, Sarech Likroa Limata Ulamala Esanekev, Shalotea Tfira Asui Kimatin Kimatin. So what would happen if a worm got into the curtain and bore a little hole in the curtain? Now, so we'll say, if you just go ahead and stitch up the hole, you know, if you ever try to stitch up a hole, it's not flat, it's bunched together. So what they would do is, if there was a hole in the curtain, they would cut out the square around the hole and essentially put in a new patch of fabric that would allow it to look uniform. So that would be a case of korea, that would be a case of tearing amanas litvar with the intention to go ahead and then sew in the new piece of fabric. Amarav zucha bartovio amarav hamoseach chut shel tefira b'shabbos chayiv chatos. Look at Rashi. Hamoseach chut shel tefira beged hatafor v'omeid v'yeniach hachut aruch v'nispardu shtei chatichos habeged zo mizo v'miktsas. So also the kisub here is the following. If you have two pieces of fabric that are stitched together and the stitching became a little bit loose, and you go ahead and you pull the thread that tightens the stitching and brings the two pieces of fabric together. Halach l'maisa, the Rav says that shechay v'chatas for that on Shabbos. Or in other words, Rabosa, that's called tofer. Now, what's the chiddush over here? The chiddush over here would be that I might have thought that tofer means mamish only stitching something that was never stitched before. But if something is already stitched, but the stitching became loose, tightening the stitching maybe should not be called tofer. Kamash molon it is. Finish the Rashi. Rashi says, I pull one edge of the thread to go ahead and bring the two pieces of fabric together. Zohi tfirasa v'chayiv. This is also called stitching, and one is chayiv. Good. Now, once we quoted that statement of Rav says a few more things also. V'halomid davar echad min amagush. One who goes ahead and says something, excuse me, one who learns something from a magush. Now, what is a magush? Rashi says, "Min hamamshicho la'avodah zarah." This refers to an apikores who goes ahead and could potentially draw one to idolatry. Afilu dvar Torah asur lilmod mimenu. One is not permitted to even learn Torah from an apikores, from a magush, out of fear that ultimately, because such a person is theologically flawed, maintaining a connection, even a Talmud Torah connection with such an individual, could result in negative consequences. Furthermore, the Gemara says, V'hayodeya lechashet tkufos umazalos ve'eno choshev, and someone who knows, this is actually interesting, lechashet tkufos umazalos, tkufos means seasons, mazalos means constellations. So one who knows the science between the intercalation of the months and how to anticipate the arrivals of the seasons and how all the different planets and constellations and everything moves around, ve'eno choshev, and a person does not take the time to understand that science better, aser lesaper himenu. It is aser to go ahead and quote anything in his name. All right, we'll obviously have to define each of these things. So the Gemara says the following. A megushta, now Rashi just points out, why are these statements here? So Rashi just points out in the Rashi, v'hayodea, hani tlas shmaisisa, sham inhu marzutra meirav ki adadi vigarsinu. So apparently, marzutra heard all three of these statements of Rav at one time. And therefore, again, once he quoted the first one, which was the one about stitching, which is shayach for our sugya, we quote the other two also, even though they have nothing to do with our sugya. So now the Gemara goes back and explores each of them. Magushta. What's a magushta? A magushta is a magush. Remember we had that word before. What's a magushta? Rav Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel have an argument. Chad amar charshi, v'chad amar gidufi. One says it's a charshi, look at Rashi. Charshi mechashef a sorcerer. V'chad amar gidufi. And one says a gidufi. Rashi says, min ha'aduk b'avodah zarah. Min is literally a non-believer who is attached to avodah zarah. U'megadev tamid es Hashem. And he's constantly blaspheming the name of God. U'mesis anoshim la'avodah zarah. And constantly trying to entice people to go ahead and worship idolatry. So the Gemara says, dististayin derav da'amar gidufi. It would seem to be clear that Rav is the one who holds that a magush is a gidufi, is a person, is a min, is an apikoris, is worshipping Avodah Zarah, constantly blaspheming God. Do Amar Rav Zutra Bartulya, Amar Rav, halomeit davar echad min hamagush chayiv misa. Because says Rav Zutra Bartulya in the name of Rav, that if a person learns one thing from a magush, he's chayiv misa. The Isaac Adait Chacharshi, if Magush means a sorcerer, that can't be. Why? Haksiv, lo silmot lasos. The Torah says that you may not go ahead, this pasuk, the pasuk its entirety is, ki atah ba'a la'aretz asher Hashem Elokecha nosen lach, lo silmot lasos ki tavos hagoyim ahim. Do not learn the ways of the nations of Kenan, which is referring to sorcery and other types of practices. So Torah says, Lo sumod lasos. You should not learn these practices in order to do them yourself. Aval atolomod lohavin ulohoros. But you are permitted to learn these practices in order to be able to teach people, to instruct people about what and what not to do. And therefore, I'm going to both say it's interesting because the Brisa over here says, or Rav says, that if you learn one thing from the Magush, you chayiv misa. Therefore, the Gemara is suggesting that it can't mean sorcerer, because again, apparently there would be certain circumstances where you would be permitted to go ahead and learn certain things from the sorcerer in order to understand what it is that's aser. So at this time, the Gemara says, Enochinami, you're right, it must be that according to Rav, Magush actually means the Gidufi. The blasphemer, the min, the apical race is constantly blaspheming God. Fine. Amar Rav Shem ben Pasi, Amar Rav Yehoshua. We'll say it's also just a very important episode, which is that Torah is not simply a discipline. Torah is not simply a body of knowledge. Torah is a fountain of Kiddusha. And as such, we have to be careful where we get it from. Because in order for the Torah to be Kadosh, Torah is only Kadosh that it comes from a Kadosh place. If it doesn't come from a Kadosh place, it's not. That's why what happens to a Sefer Torah that's written by an Apikoris, right? You burn it. That's not called the Torah. It's called the parchment with writing on it. Torah is only Kadosh that it comes from a Kadosh source. So the Gemara is saying over here is, therefore, if the source itself is not Kadosh, and more than not Kadosh, if the source is simply defiled, it's a minah, a'odik b'avodah zarah, don't learn Torah. And if you learn Torah from such a source, just understand, you will be tainted. Because Torah that comes from an impure source is in and of itself impure, and that taints the individual spiritually. So the Gemara goes on. The Gemara says, Amar Reb Shimon Pasi, Amar Rabbi Yoshua, Ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kafra, Kol Yodea Lechashe B'tkufos Mazolos Ve'ena Choshev. So listen to this. So echoing the same sentiment that we said before in the name of Rav, anyone who knows how to intercalate the different seasons and the months and the constellations, Ve'ena Choshev, and does not engage in this science, By the way, the Rambam understands this Gemara as referring to astronomy. The Rambam says, anyone who has the ability to really learn and understand, that's the operative phrase, understand astronomy and does not do so, says the Rambam, is actually doing something wrong. Why? What's the pshat? I love a Kasuf Omer about this person that Pasuk says, Ve'espol Hashem lo yabitu, the actions or the wonders of God, the wonders of the creation, yeah, we'll call it the wonders of God, he does not look at, Uma'ase yadav lo ro, and the creations of his hand, he did not see. So also, the Gemara is pointing out over here is that a person who has the ability to learn astronomy, but does not do so, is losing out on an incredible opportunity to see the greatness of Hashem. Amr Rav Shulman Nachmani, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Minayin shenitzva ala adam lechashet kupos umazolos. How do we know that it's a mitzvah upon a person? Literally, to intercalate, to understand the tekufos, the seasons, as well as the different mazalos. Shene emar, ushmartem v'asisem. You shall keep them and you shall do them. Ki hi chach maschem uvinaschem le'enei ha'amim. For this is your wisdom and this is your understanding in the eyes of the nations. Eizo chach mo'vina shi le'enei ha'amim. What is an example of wisdom and understanding that is apparent to the eyes of the nations of the world, Omer? Also, heavy Omer, I would say, ze chishuv tkufos umazalos. This refers to understanding of the different seasons and constellations. Okay, fine. Back to Shabbos. Hatzad Tzvi. If one goes ahead and traps a deer on Shabbos, so again, tzad, seida, hunting or trapping was one of the melachos. So the Gemara says the following. Tan Rabbanan. Hatzad chilozon v'hapotzo. If one goes ahead and traps a chilozon and potzo, Rashi says, potzo, dochko biyodov sheyetze damo. You squeeze the chilozon in order that the blood will come out of it. Remember, what you want with the tcheles comes from the blood of the chilozon. So a person traps the chilozon and then squeezes the chilozon to get the blood out of it. Eno chayiv ala achos. A person is only chayiv one time. One time, Rashi says, Eno chayiv ala achos, mishum tzeda, because of trapping, avala ptsia leke chiyuv. But for squeezing the blood out of the animal, there is no chiyuv. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Huda, Omer, Rabbi Huda says, chayiv shtayim. Rabbi Huda says, chayiv tu chatos. Shahai Rabbi Huda, Omer, ptsia bichlal disha. Because Rabbi Huda used to say that ptsia, which literally means the squeezing out of the chilazon, is bichlal disha, is in the category of threshing. Right? Threshing means extrukit rashi bichlal disha, shemefarik damo hayemenu kimefarik tvo mikashla, same way that dosh, threshing, represents again removing the kernel from the chaff. So too, if you were to go in and squeeze the blood out of the chilazon, that's also dosh. Amrulo, they said to Rabbi Huda, ain ptsia bichlal disha. No, not true. Ptsia is not within the category of dosh. Amarava, my time of the rabbanon. What's the logic of the rabbis? Why do they hold that ptsia is not dosh? Kasavri ain disha ela ligdule karka. Because they hold that dosh, threshing, is only applicable to items that grow from the ground. And because the chilazon obviously doesn't grow from the ground, therefore it's not subject to dosh. Now the Gemara is a very obvious question. I don't understand. Why are you worrying about dosh? Right? Why are you worrying about dosh? What about the fact that you're killing the chilazon? Right? And remember, shchita, right? Shchita is one of the lametes melachos. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, shepatsu meis. Apparently, under normal circumstances, when would they take the blood from the chilazon? Already after the chilazon was dead. Already after it was dead, and therefore again, halacha lemaisa, you're going to be chayiv for tzeda, for trapping it. And the only shaila is there a concept of dash, of threshing, when you go ahead and you squeeze the blood out? Rava Amar, afilu famous shepherd Sochai. Rava says, no, you could even be referring to a case where the chilazon is alive. So if the chilazon is alive, then why aren't you chayiv for netilas neshama, for killing it when you squeeze the blood out? I mean, the assumption is that if you squeeze the blood out of it, so the chilazon is going to die, so why aren't you chayiv for that? Misaseku eitzel netilas neshama. Oh, says the Gemara, he's misasek. Now we'll say, we are already bikim, right? We are already experts in the sugya of misasek, machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan, and Reish Lakish. So the Gemara says that he's misasik b'anfilasu. Now, what does that mean? He's misasik. Look at Rashi. Misasik u'itzel n'tilas neshama kilomar legabe minetilas neshama havi misasik b'davar acher. That when it comes to killing the chilazon, he's considered to be misasik. Remember, we'll say, what is misasik? Misasik is when you are really involved in action A, but you end up causing action B. Velo havya meleches machsheves she'eno miskavin she'yamos. Shabbos is like this. My intention is not to kill. My intention is not to kill the chilazon. What's my intention? To get the blood. And therefore the fact that the chilazon dies is not my primary intention in this activity. That's called misasek. So Gemara says, but 1 second. V'ha abayi v'ravad amit harvayu. Modir b'shim v'psik reisha v'lo yomos. But Rabbi said, we'll see this sugya later on. Even Rav Shimon agrees with the Psik Resha. Rav will say Psik Resha, we'll see. Psik Resha literally means take off the head. Now we'll see later on, that's one of the popular children's toys in the times of the Gemara, was the chicken head. Right? There's only one issue, that in order to get the chicken head, you have to kill the chicken. So the Gemara discusses, well, why don't really want to kill the chicken, I just want the head. So Rav Shimon says, that's very nice, but Psik Resha, can you take the head off? Right, and the chicken's not going to die, which in other words also means the following, that it's one thing to say misasek in activities that will not necessarily definitively occur, but if something is definitely going to occur, then you have to be liable for that maisa. So what the Gemara is saying over here is that halacha l'maisa, I understand what you're saying, you don't really want to kill the chilazon, that's fine, you just want its blood, but by definition, taking its blood, squeezing out its blood, is going to kill the chilazon. And by that, even Reb Shimon holds, remember Reb Shimon is the one who holds that a davar she'eino miskaven is mutter. Right, Reb Shimon holds that if you do a malacha, but you don't do it to kavana, I'm dragging the bench. And by dragging the bench, I end up making a furrow. Reb Shimon says, that's mutter. He says, that's mutter. But Reb Shimon says that when a particular act will definitely result in a malacha, you're chayiv for that act. If that's the case, then squeezing the blood out of the chilazon is a psik resha, and therefore it should be chayiv. To which the Gemara says, shiny hacha, dekama de is beit shama tfei nechale, kiechi de litzla tzivei. It's a very interesting answer. This case is different. Why? Because by the chilazon, you actually have a vested interest in keeping the chilazon alive. Why? Because as long as the chilazon is alive, apparently, the blood is a clearer shade. The blood, which is the tcheles, is a clearer shade of tcheles. And the clearer shade is actually of higher quality. I guess once the animal dies, the physical properties of the blood itself change. So the Gemara says, in this case over here, you dafka want to keep the chilazon alive, despite the fact that, of course, you're squeezing the blood out of it. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Tfei nichalei, Shedam hachai told me dam ames, because the blood of a living chilazon is better than the blood of a dead chilazon. Vecheva decholitzumo miskaven, v'tarak l'shomo shol yomos biyado, and therefore, this is an interesting thing, your entire intention, your kavanah, you're trying your hardest to actually keep the chilazon alive for as long as possible. He says, "V'chadchev d'cho'atzal miskavim mitorel shomer shlo yom ziyado." Afilu meis ein kan ela misasik. Therefore, this is a little bit different. Now, your intention, mamish, is to keep the chilazon alive. Therefore, if the chilazon dies, that's called misasik. It's not because now the Gemara is saying it's not a psikresha, because you can squeeze the blood out in ways that the chilazon still remains alive. Not only that, you have a vested interest to keep the chilazon alive, and therefore, if it dies, it's called misasik. And even Rav Shimon, who holds that halacha l'maaseh yechayev for a psik reisha, that's only in a situation where a person doesn't have explicit desire for the opposite effect. Like when you chop off the head of the chicken, so truth is, it doesn't matter to you if the chicken is alive or dead. It happens to be the net result is the chicken is going to die. But in this case here, the Gemara is suggesting you want the chilazon to remain alive, because ultimately the blood is of better quality from a living chilazon. So because of that, if the chilazon ends up dying, you are not chay v'chatos for taking the life of the chilazon. Okay. V'ashokto, slaughtering, next malachim. Shochet mishum mai chayiv. Now this is actually interesting. Why are you chayiv because of shochet, right? What? Look at Rashi. Shochet mishum mai mechayiv. Shchita v'melechas ha-mishkan heicha, umai avidite. Ime oros elim me'adamim, lama libu shchita b'chanika nami sagi. So this is very interesting. So where was shchita done in the Mishkan? So the assumption that it was done in order to get the hides of animals. because you needed hides in order to go ahead the roof on their own. The oros tachashim, right? You needed the different skins in order to go ahead. We learned about the tachashul in the sugya in order to make the roof for the mishkan. So we'll say what Rashi points out over here is, but you didn't have to shech the animals for that. Rashi points out in front of Chanukah, you could have choked the animals, you could have killed the animals however you want. There's only a din of shechita when you want to consume the animal. So obviously what the Gemara is assuming is, the fact that shechita is usur must mean that there must be something additional over here than just killing. Because if it was just about killing, then again, you could have killed the animals for the Mishkan in any way you wanted. So the Gemara says, shochet mishum maichayiv. Why are you usur because of shechita on Shabbos? Rav amar, mishum tzaveh. So it's very interesting. Rav says, because you end up coloring. What do you end up coloring? We'll discuss. You end up coloring the area by the throat. When you slit the throat by the animal, so the blood gushes out and reddens the flesh right by the throat of the animal. Ushmuel amar, now tzavea we know, tzavea coloring or dying is one of the lamtas malachos. Ushmuel amar mishum tilas neshama. Shmuel says, no, you know what shechita means? The issur of shechita is taking life. Whether you are taking that life through shechita, or if you're smashing a fly in between your hands, right? Either way, that's called Netilas Nesham. Netilas Nesham, taking life, is Asur and Shabbos. Fine. Mishum Tzoveya, in Mishum Netilas Nesham Alo. So the Gemara says, Rav says, is that to say that if you go ahead and you kill something, you slaughter an animal on Shabbos, that you're only chay because of Tzoveya? Rashi says, Tzoveya, Shet Tzoveya Es HaBasar Shalbeis HaShchita. Literally, you die the flesh right by the area of the shechita. So is that to say that according to Rabbi Yochai, because of Tzoveya and not because of Netilas Neshama? So the Gemara says, no. Ema af mishum Tzoveya. What Rav means to say is, if you were to slaughter an animal on Shabbos, you would actually be chayiv for two things. You would be chayiv for Tzoveya, right? Number one, for dying the animal, and for dying the flesh, and number two, for Netilas Neshama, for taking the life of the animal. So Amar Rav, listen to this. So Amar Rav, Milsa da Amri, Ema ba milsa. So Rav says, you know that thing I just said about Tzoveya? I'd like to make a follow-up statement to it. Velo lesu dori basroi, velech ku alai. In order that subsequent generations not come along and laugh at me. Now what does it mean? Rav realizes that what he said about Tzoveya sounds a little bit strange. Right? That's the Yisro here, Tzoveya. So let me clarify this. He says, v'may nechale. Now, you have to remember, in order for melacha to be melacha, it has to be melachas machsheves. It has to be something constructive. So the shayla is, what is constructive? When you shech the animal, that's constructive, obviously, that allows the animal for use, so that gets rid of a nuisance. But if, according to Rav, who says that when you shech the animal, part of the issue is tzoveya, that you are dying the area of the flesh with the blood that comes out, what's the benefit of that? So the Gemara is something very interesting over here. The Gemara says, "V'may nechale, necha de litvus beis hashchita." It's beneficial in order that the beis hashchita, the area by the neck, becomes reddened. "V'may dechi," excuse me, "beis hashchita dama kihechi de lechzu inish inshi de lesu lizabnu minei." Which is the very interesting about saying when the flesh of the beis hashchita, the area of the animal shechted, becomes exceptionally red. That's a simen that the meat is fresh. Apparently, that redness does not stay with that meat, but it's only there in the immediate aftermath of the shechting of the animal. Therefore, says Rav again, Nechale de litvus beis hashchita dama. It is beneficial for the beis hashchita, the area of the neck, to become reddened with blood. Ki hechid lechzu inch, in order that people will see it. V'leisu and they will come lizab numine, to buy meat. Because then the person who has this meat will have a reputation of what? Of having fresh meat for sale. So there is a constructive benefit to having the area of the neck reabsorb some of the blood. Okay. V'hamocho v'hama'avdo. So it's like, this is talking about things that you do to the skin, to the hide of the animal. So one who salts the hide, and one who tans the hide. So the Gemara says, haidu moleh, haidu ma'avid. So the truth is, salting and tanning are really the same thing. Because part of the tanning process is in fact salting. Rabbi Yochanan v'arei shlagish t'amar t'avayu. Rabbi Yochanan and Shlagish both said, "Apik chad minayu." So they both said, "You're right," and therefore you should remove one of, you don't need mocho and ma'avdo. Rather, you could remove one of those from the list. Aye, but if you remove one of them from the list, then what is your makeup malacha? Because we need to have 39 malachos. Va'ayol sirtut. And instead of either mocho, now again, they say you can take out whichever one you want, because they essentially mean the same thing. So remove either salting or tanning, because they're the same process. And what should you put there instead? Sirtut. Now we'll say, what's sirtut? Look at Rashi. Sirtut literally means drawing of lines. Rashi says, Lefisha derech haratzonin, kishubo lechatcho, nisartito tchila kafi mashu rotza laharich ulaharchiv ulakatzer achito. Va'achar kach mavir hasakin derech hasirtut, dechin ba'oros hamishkan kishachatchum. Apparently, when you had a hide, so hides have to be cut. So what the tanners used to do was, they would go ahead and cut, they would make an incision. Not all the way through. Well, so you know, you've seen this, we have this on a Sefer Torah. And if you ever look in a Sefer Torah, you'll notice that there are lines in the parchment. That's called sirtut. They did that with hides also, just to demarcate the area on which they were going to cut the hide. So, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, who holds that you're taking out either mocho or ma'avdo, would say put in there sirtut instead. Amara barafuna. Hayman de malach bisra. So Rabbi Barafuna said, if someone salts meat, chayiv mishum ma'aved. You're chayiv because of tanning. Because also the idea of tanning is you're salt hide. If you salt meat on Shabbos, you're also chayiv because of tanning. Rava Amar, ein ibud ba'ochlin. Rava says, no, there is no tanning by food. Tanning, the iser malacha of ma'aved is only by hides. Amar Rav Ashi, va'afilu Rav Barafuna lo, Amar elo de kaboy l'orcha. So now Rav Ashi comes and says, even according to Rav Barafuna, who holds that there is an iser of tanning when it comes to food, only hold that the iser of tanning is if you add enough salt as if you were going on a journey. Was it right? So what did it mean, essentially, if you think about it? If a person was going on a journey, what would they do? I guess it's what you'd call today like a jerky, right? You would salt it. You would salt it to the point that it would just stay. See, even Rabbi Rafun, who says that you're chayiv for salting your food, you could be chayiv ma'avid for salted food. What does it mean? You can't add salt to your meat on Shabbos. Obviously, it's only talking about adding enough salt to preserve it for a long journey. The way you would salt meat if you needed it for a journey. But salting meat the way you eat it in your house, a person would not go ahead and make his food into wood. And we'll say again, you know, the benefit of preserving your meat is that it lasts. The downside is that it tends to take away a little bit of the moisture and of the flavor. So a person only does it if they need provisions for a journey. But a person is not going to do that within their own home. One who goes in and smooths the hide and cuts it according to measure. Amar Rabbi Acha bar Chanina, Hashaf bein ha'amudim b'Shabbos chayiv mishum ha'machek. If one is shaf, look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, Hashaf bein ha'amudim, kigon amude achzatros. There's someone who keeps on walking around in between the pillars. Those people say, if a person keeps walking around, we actually had this before, that in between pillars are places where people used to sit down or people used to congregate. So if a person keeps walking back and forth in this area in an effort to smooth out the ground, that's chayiv mishum ha'machek. That's chayiv because of smoothing. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Gimel Dvarim Sachli Rav Ashi Mishmei to Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Rabbi Chiya Abba says that Rav Ashi told me three things in the name of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Number one, Hamigare Roshe Klunosos B'Shabbos Chai Mishu Mechatech. If a person goes ahead and literally Megarer means like smooths out the tops of poles on Shabbos, he's chayiv because of mechatech, because of cutting according to measure. So Rashi says over here, "Hamegare roshe klunosos shayaroshin shavin vechadin." So this is talking about, let's say, a person had pillars and a person wanted to smooth out and really sharpen the tops of the pillars. I guess that was for aesthetic purposes. That a person is chayiv because of mechatech, because of cutting according to measure. Hamimareach retia b'Shabbos chayiv mishum ha'machek. This is actually very important. If a person goes ahead and mimareach retia literally means a person smears a bandage on Shabbos, they're chayiv because of mamachi, because of smoothing. But this is talking about, Rabbi says, if a person has ointment, right, and smooths the ointment on a wound on Shabbos, that is a malacha. One is not permitted to do that on Shabbos. That is a malacha mamachik of smoothing. Just parenthetically, if a person does need to go ahead and put some kind of ointment on a wound on Shabbos, so the way halach lemaisa we do it is we put the ointment on the bandage and we put the bandage on the wound, and we don't smear the ointment. The idea is that's kila achya, it's like with a shinui. So by putting the ointment on the bandage, putting the bandage on the wound, so the ointment smooths out by itself. But to take the ointment, smooth it on the wound, one is not permitted to do that on Shabbos. The hamisaseis asa even b'Shabbos, and if one goes in and literally, this literally means chisel. What it really means is polishing the stone. Right? If a person puts the final touches on a stone on Shabbos, chayim mishum makia b'patish. One is chay because of makia patish. Makia patish represents delivering the final hammer blow, completing any particular object. Amar Rav Shimon kisma. Amar Rav Shimon lakish. Hatsar tsura bekli. If one goes ahead and engraves an image on a utensil, v'hamenafeach bekli zchuchis, or one blows glass, chayiv mishomake bepatish. One is chayiv for delivering the final hammer blow. Amar Rav Yehuda, hayman deshakil akufe miglimi, chayiv mishomake bepatish. So listen, this is actually very interesting. Look at Rashi. Deshakil akufe, rashi chutin atluyim biyiria. If you have a garment and there are some, we'll call it stray threads, hanging from the garment, and you either snip the threads or pull out the threads, that's chai because of makia patish. Well, so you know where this comes up, by the way? This comes up if you put on a new suit and you realize you did not go ahead and undo the pockets. So sometimes, if you're very skilled, if you're right, most of us probably just rip it open, but you could actually pull the thread out. The thread actually comes out you can't do that on Shabbos. That would be called makia b'patish. That would be called delivering the final hammer blow, because delivering the final hammer blow is an action by which you make a kli fully usable, fully functional. So obviously the suit is functional without the pockets, but undoing the pockets is makia b'patish.
It's the exact opposite with the laundry. The launderers who sewed up the top of the shirt, they said that was not makia b'patish.
That was not, right. But the Gemara also said that making a new neck hole is makia b'patish.
Here the pocket's already made and they just
closed. No, but for me it's not made. That's not true. Okay. The pocket, meaning the pocket's never been used as a pocket. The difference with the launderer's knot is I used that shirt yesterday. Now it went to the laundry. So essentially what we learned before, that's not a kshir shel kayama. This is a kshir shel kayama. Right? The idea is the suit's never been used.
Okay.
So the Gemara says the following. Okay, so the Gemara is like this. V'hani mili, the kavod alayu. But interestingly enough, just for the Gemara's example, if you have some stray threads on your garment, pulling the threads out would be makia b'patish. But the Gemara says it's only makia b'patish if you care about it. I mean, if for you the stray threads are just not a big deal, then pulling those out would not be makia b'patish, which is actually interesting. The Gemara seems to be saying that there is some element of subjectivity by the malacha makia b'patish as well. Hakosef shtei osios. If one writes two letters on Shabbos, Tanu Rabbanan says to shtei osios, two letters is the shear for chiyuv on Shabbos. So the Gemara says the following: Tanu Rabbanan, kasav os achos gedola, v'yesh b'mkom lichtov shtayim. If a person wrote one big letter, but in the place of where he wrote one big letter, there is room to write two smaller letters. Potter, you're Potter. I'll say, why? What does that mean? Because for Kosev, the only chiyuv is mamish if you're writing two letters. The fact that you wrote one big letter that occupied the space of two is not the equivalent of writing two letters. But here's what's interesting. Machach os gedola, v'yesh b'mkomo lichtov shtayim. But if you erased a very large letter, and now in the space where you had a large letter, there is space to go ahead and what? To write two letters, chayiv. Then you are chayiv for mechika. Why are both sides? Because halacha l'maaseh, the malacha of mochet, the malacha of erasing, is erasing in a way that leaves room for writing of two letters. So even though, again, you only erased one letter, through that act of erasure, you have created space for the writing of two letters, and therefore you are chayiv. Amar Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yossi, v'zeh chomer b'mochet mibekosev. Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yossi says, and this is the chumrah that erasing has over writing. When it comes to writing, even if you write one big letter, you're not chayiv, even though it's occupying the space of two letters. When it comes to mechika, erasing one large letter that occupies the space of two letters, you will in fact be chayiv. Habone v'asosar mechaber v'amav v'makeh patish, building, demolishing, extinguishing, kindling, and delivering the final hammer blow. Rabbi Rabbi Zeir Damri Tarvayu, Komidi de Ispe Gmar Malach Chai Mishumaki Bepatish. So Rabbi Rabbi Zeir say that anything that has any completion of malacha, right, any time that you finish a particular malacha, that is called Maki Bepatish. Fine, says the Gemara. Elu Avos Malachos. So remember again, the Mishnah ends off by saying, this is the list of Avos Malachos. Elu La'afuki Mid Rabbi Elazar, the Mechayiv Al Tolda B'Makom Av. So this word Elu comes to exclude the position of Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that Mechayiv for a Tolda B'Makom Av. Now what does Mirabosai? Look at Rashi for just a moment. La'afuki Mid Rabbi Eliezer, the Ha'amran, the Lo Nimnu Kan El Elohu Dianu, Minyan Chatol Shalhel Lamechot. Vitana hari elu le meute shim asa toldo sein imahim de eno mevi alein chatos vid udalo kirabi elazar the mechayiv atoldim abekrisus. Rabbosai, what the Gemara is asking is, why do I need the final counting at the end? Why does the Mishnah need to restate? And these are the 39 malachos. To which the Gemara answers, because it's coming to teach you the following: that if you did one av and multiple toldos of the same av, one primary malacha, and multiple offshoots of the same malacha, that you're only chayiv once. Right? You could only be chayiv a maximum of one time per category. So for example, if I did borer, dosh, mefarek, and schita, which are all toldos of the same av malacha, I'd only be chayiv once. This is to the exclusion of the position of Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer holds that you are chayiv even if you violate multiple toldos in the same av malacha category. Rabbi Eliezer holds that you're chayiv for each and every malacha violated. So the Gemara is suggesting that the Mishnah ends off by saying, Hari Elu, these are the 39 malachos, to cap one's liability at 39 chatos. That even if you did multiple toldos in the same category of the av malacha, you're only chayiv once per category. Fine. Just to finish, Chaser Achos, and the total number of malachos is 40 minus 1, 39 malachos. La'afuki mit Rabbi Yehuda. And this comes to go ahead and exclude the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because what does Rabbi Yehuda say? Tisanya, Rabbi Yehuda mosit es hashovet v'hamedaktek. Rabbi Yehuda has two more malachos in the list. What are they? Shovet. Shovet is lining up the warped threads with a rod. And medaktek is beating the weft threads. So again, it's arranging, lining up the threads and beating the threads. So Rabbi Yehuda inserts these two malachos into the list of 39. So the Gemara says, "Aisa, what do we do with these malachos?" So the Gemara says, "Amrulo," they said to Rabbi Yehuda, "These aren't two new malachos. Shovet, harihu bichlal mesach. The malacha of shovet, which is lining up the warp threads with the rod, is including the malacha of mesach. Mesach is mounting the warp threads. Medaktek and the malacha of beating the weft threads, that's part of harihu bichlal oreg. That's part of the malacha of weaving." So the Rabbanon agree with Rabbi Yehuda that these are in fact malachos, but they hold that they are already included in the categories of mesach and oreg, and therefore that keeps the number of malachos limited to 39. All right, we'll say we'll step over here. Pick up with the Mishnah Mir session tomorrow. Volume 3 tomorrow. Mm-hmm.